Yep, y'all know Brother Denny, love him. He'll be here singing tonight and playing that piano. He's wrote some beautiful songs since some of y'all him. He'll be with us tonight. He's gone down to Charlotte to preach this morning at Plaza Road Baptist, but he'll be back with us this evening in the service, so we got something real, real special planned tonight. None of the young people, you don't want to miss tonight's service. This is very important. Be here tonight. Bring somebody with you. Now, a couple things right quick. Thank you for praying. We had a real good revival up in Kentucky. I got home yesterday morning. Had some good services. Thank you for praying for me. And had a good trip way, way, way up in the mountains. We are planning our first youth trip of the summer, June 10th and 11th. As soon as school's out, we're about 1:30 going up to Virginia. Some of y'all kids need to get signed up today. Today on the list, and we're going to make plans for transportation for 2-day youth revival. And they got a lot of special things planned, games, got a gymnasium and everything, going to have activities all day on Saturday night church, come home Saturday night. So we do have a van, the Bible Truth Baptist Church is letting us borrow for that weekend, so praise God for it, but it's almost full already, so if a bunch is going, we'll have to get some more transportation. But anyway, we'll talk more about that after a while, but let's remind everybody that today, this weekend of Memorial Day, we honor our veterans. I saw in the news that they were in Marietta, Georgia. They had hundreds of little white crosses, and they were to the unknown soldiers. Didn't even know who was in those graves, but gave their lives fighting for their country. So we honor those men who bled, died, gave the ultimate sacrifice for our country. And we're going to sing a song in a little bit, and it'll be dedicated to the memory of our veterans. So we thank the Lord for that. Now, we'd like to welcome all of you that are visiting with us today. And if you guys come get our visitors cards, we're going to pass out some visitors cards right quick this morning. And if you'd fill this out, please, and drop it in the offering plate, we'd really appreciate it. And if this is your first time visiting with us today, so take off, Brother Ray. If you're first time visiting, raise your hand right quick, and you know, several over here. Y'all fill these out and drop them in the offering plate. If the first time you've been here, please get one of these, fill it out, and we appreciate that. It's good to have all of you here, wherever you're from. It's a real blessing. That's Ron and Cindy Alcorn. Raise your hand over there, Brother Ron. You see that young couple right there? That is the folks that are now living in my mom's house. He's a preacher, and thank God for him. They're visiting with us this morning, so we're glad you all come this morning. And we want you to make them welcome. And then others, if this is your first time visiting, we're really glad that you're here. We're really glad that you're here. Somebody passed up 75 churches coming here this morning, and I thank the Lord that you've made it here today. God bless you. All right? While we're doing that, we're going to have just a little time of fellowship. And we want to make everybody feel welcome, and so be friendly. The Bible says, he that a man that hath friends must show himself what? Friendly, that's what it said. So if you're a snob, no wonder you ain't got no friends. So let's be friendly. Let's all stand right quick, turn around, and be friendly. Thank you. Lord.
All of his love in a dinner of a ride.
get us a song here, Ben Brother. Amen. Let's say everybody give this morning, honor the Lord. This is the fifth Sunday, and we'll have visitors here tonight for sitting here, Brother Chapel, I'm sure. You'll want to be sure to be back. But let's everybody give. Let's honor the Lord. We're still praying for some folks who will be a monthly sponsor of a radio program. And if you got a radio off, you'll put it one of those little envelopes. That'd be a blessing. We're getting a lot of response from it. A lot of response. There's people here today because of our radio ministry. So let's everybody give like we're supposed to. Honor God, and He'll bless you for it. Okay? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege of giving. I'm glad that You made it possible in Your Word that we could give to Your work. Thank You for jobs. Thank You for our country that we live in. Thank You that we have food to eat on, and food in our, and clothes on our back. I pray that You'd bless this offering this morning. Bless the gift and the giver. Those that don't have anything, pray You bless those that give, multiply, and meet the need we have. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Fixed on the Savior.
step between you and your storm.
Right.
And if you hadn't had that ever happen to you, you will. Stay in there long enough. Glad he comes between us and the storm.
Amen.
All right. Last Sunday morning, we had a lot of comments on the message that I preached last Sunday morning on depression and what the Bible says about it. It's rare for me to do something like that, but I thought I'd give you what the Bible says, and they do have the CDs available if you want one and you were not here, what the Bible says about the way out. And this morning I got something completely different. I want you to take your Bible and open to 2 Kings chapter 4, the book of 2 Kings chapter number 4, back way back there in the book of 2 Kings. And I will read a story here in the Bible. Those first few chapters of 2 Kings are really just loaded with miracles by the prophet Elisha. And Elisha is one of the greatest men in the Old Testament. And he had a double portion of the Spirit that was on Elijah. That was a great story. He followed Elijah around everywhere he went. And he always said, "Lord, I want what he's got." There's nothing wrong with following a man if the man is going the right direction. A lot of times we get accused of, "Oh, you're just following a man." Everybody's following some man. One night, the guy said, "Well, you're just following the Bible. Man wrote the Bible." And he said, "Well, you're just following Charles Darwin. Man wrote that too." And everybody's following somebody. You just better find out where they're going and if they know what they're doing. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." It's all right to follow a man if he's going the right way. So Elisha did that. Elisha followed Elijah. And he said, "Man, I don't know what you've got, but when you die, I'd like to have double what you've got." And Elijah looked at him and said, "Well," he said something like, "if you see me when the Lord takes me up, then you'll get it." So he said, "All right, I ain't leaving your side." Man, here where he went. They stopped at a convenience store. They went to a campground. I mean, it didn't matter where they went. Elijah was right there beside him. And sure enough, the chariot of the Lord came, took Elijah back to heaven. Elisha saw it, and a double portion of the Spirit came on Elisha. And if you'll check and count the miracles, the Lord used him to perform a double the amount of miracles that Elijah performed. Double portion. That's where you hear people use that expression. So I'm going to tell you a story about something Elisha did, was involved in, here in 2 Kings chapter 4, and we'll look at verse number 38. Verse number 38. There's some good ones in the first part of chapter 4, but look at verse number 38. "And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, 'Set on the great pot and seed pottage for the sons of the prophets.' And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered there a wild gourd, his lap full, and came and spread them into the pot of pottage. They knew them not." Hold your finger there now. Just a second. Go out. Here's where we're at. He said there's a famine. They ain't nothing to eat. Go get that big pot. They bring in this great big pot. Set this pot, like a big iron pot, like you'd see them pin them and stir them in, one of them great things like that. He said, "All right, go out there and gather something, get them." They went out there and started picking stuff like this, and pick that weed there, pick up. It don't grow back, did it? Should have done that. And they started putting them in there, like that stuff growing behind my house. I've done that weed eating the other day, and it's nothing but poison ivy all the way down through there. And I was in it, had my hands in it, wiping my face with sweat before I even realized it. And I said, "Lord, don't let that kill me, get my eyes." And it didn't. So praise the Lord for that. But anyway, they started putting it in that pot. They started putting it in there. Didn't matter what it was. Just don't forget that. It didn't matter what it was or what time they broke it off of, in the pot. And they started cooking it. And people started saying, "Man, I want some of that homemade soup." And they started eating it. Now, let's continue reading. Verse number 40. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat there. What's meant was it's poison. It's killing us. Whatever you put in there, I got the bellyache. I'm about to die. I mean, you're going to have to call the ambulance. Come get me. But he said, then bring meal. Meal. And he cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. Now, I want to preach on that story this morning. And the title of the message is Death in the Pot. Elisha was the great contemporary of Elijah the prophet, except with a double portion of his spirit. This is a story where there was a great famine in the land. I want to talk about that famine in the land. They didn't have anything to eat. There have always been famines. Ever since there have been people on earth, there's been famines. There's always terrible ones in India. There are India in England, in China, in the first century, Japan, 1700, Asia, 1800, China, Russia, all of those countries have experienced famine. Some of their own do it. Like India, for example, there's lots and lots of people starving to death in India, and still are today. And one of the reasons they're starving in India is because of their religion. They believe that they have cows. There's enough cows in India to make steakhouses, but they won't eat them because they're afraid that might be their grandmas or grandma. Now they believe that your dead relatives come back and reincarnate and become a cow. I don't know about you, but if I lived there, I'd just say, well, we believe in survival of the fittest, cut the grandma up and put her on the table, and we'll have steak for supper. But anyway, that'd be a bad thing to believe. They believe that rats are sacred. They believe that cows are sacred. And the rats eat the grain and the people starve to death. Famine is a terrible thing. Famine is something we don't know nothing about here in this country. Most Americans don't know what it's like to even be hungry. But we fill up before we get happy. We're like stuff that your gas tank, when it gets down to a quarter tank, something filled up again. That's the way we do our bellies here in this country. We don't know what it's like to be hungry. I can tell by looking at most of you folks, we don't know what it's like to be hungry in this country. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We don't know. But in other countries, they have famines. They have famines and it's awful. They have famines where they eat cats and dogs and mice. I've heard of them eating. I've seen people in Haiti and their little kids sitting there with their bellies swelled out, picking the bugs off each other's head and eating the bugs. I've seen people when missionaries would bring cradles and pitchers where they would be literally starving to death. That's a terrible shit to be in, famine, when there's absolutely nothing to eat. The Bible talks about during the tribulation period, there will come a time when it said a measure of wheat for a penny and a measure of barley for a penny. There will be famines come on this earth again during those dark days that are ahead. There was a famine in the land. Now that's a picture this morning of a spiritual famine that we're in. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to submit to you this morning, we are in a day spiritually of famine. When the words of the Lord is rare to hear. There are more churches and more Bible and more religion in America than we've ever had before, and yet we are experiencing a greater spiritual famine than we've ever seen in this country. I mean, it's hard to find. People tell me, they say, preacher, I went on vacation and I stopped at this church and there was nothing there. And I stopped at that church and there was nothing there. And I stopped at that church and there was nothing there. And it's hard to find somebody in a church where you can get fed from the Scripture. There's a famine in the land. It's hard, it's few and far between that you find churches where you get your soul fed. There's a famine in the land. There was a famine. And the Bible said there's going to come a day when the Lord said, I'll be a famine in the land, not of bread, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Brother, we are living in that day. Many people have, full body, but an empty soul. You know that? We have people that, I mean, this is Memorial Day weekend, and when we ought to be thanking God for our country and honoring God. Every church ought to be full this morning. Every pew ought to be full of people saying, God's been good. But instead, you know where we're at? They're at the lake. They're at the mountain. They're at the Galilee and all over creation. Somebody told me the other day, they said, I couldn't get my family to come to church Wednesday night. They want to stay home and watch American Idol. I said, that's a good name for it. Idol. I-D-O-L. We are a nation that is starving in this country for the words of the Lord because we do not put God first. Let me tell you people something. God gave you the breath you're breathing right now. God gave you the food you ate last night and this morning. God gave you those clothes on your back this morning. God gave you that car. You know, the Lord, you say, no, He did not work hard for it. He gave you the strength to work. He lets you live in this part of the world where you can have a job. God gave it all to you. And woe unto us for not appreciating what God's done for you. I was preaching over in Kentucky the other night, and as a preacher, his wife drove almost 2 hours to come to church to hear me preach. He knows me from somewhere. I don't know how to get tapes and internet or something. And he came, and they sat there in the service, and the pastor got up. And he said, it sure is good to have Brother So-and-so and his wife here with us this morning. And he said, and come to find out, he said, today is their wedding anniversary. 18th wedding anniversary. He said, how long have y'all been married? They said 18 years. They brought some kids to every preach Friday night. And I got to thinking about that. His wife just smiling, looking at him like that. And I thought, boy, I know some ladies.
Come on, preacher.
I said, have y'all eaten? We don't have food at the church. They said, we stopped at McDonald's or something on the way. Here is 18th anniversary. He takes the young kids 2 hours to church and eats at McDonald's. And she just smiled and said, praise the Lord, it's so great then. She's happier than you brats. Said, it's our anniversary. You better take me to the Bahamas. You better spend at least $1,000 on me. I don't know if you were $1,000. I mean, maybe you are. You see how spoiled we are in this country. We think, well, it's the world, and we ain't going to church. We're going to live. Listen, God's been good to us in this country. And you know what? It's like a kid. The better he is to us, the meaner we are. Ain't that the truth? The better God is to us, the meaner we are. The less we appreciate. Ain't that the way it is? The more you give somebody, the less they appreciate it. And I know this guy, Marion, he had 6 cars by the time he was 22 years old. His mom and dad bought him a brand new Honda Accord, and he never changed the oil. Had 90,000 miles on it, never changed the oil. It looked like a pig pen inside, and he finally wrecked it. You know why that guy didn't appreciate it? Because it was handed to him. I'll guarantee if he had to make about 3 years of them payments, he'd change off in that thing. I mean, either you want it to last just as long as you can. And that's the way we are. We're spoiled. And there's a famine in this country today of the hearing of the words of the Lord. There was a famine in the land. But I will say secondly this morning, there were directions for relief. There were directions for relief. They come to the prophet, and they said, man, we ain't got nothing to eat. What are we going to do? And they at least had enough sense to know where to go. They didn't go to the politician, they went to the prophet. Amen? They didn't go to the psychiatrist, they went to the prophet. They said, what are we going to do? And the prophet said, take that big old pot, set it on that fire, and we're going to get a fire going. Well, that'll preach, won't it? He said, take that big pot and set it on the fire, and we're going to get it. He said, the first thing we got to do is get a fire going. Boy, I'm telling you, most churches have no clue what a fire is. A spiritual fire. Somebody told me the other day, they said, Brother Danny, I went on vacation. I went to a church. They said, oh my goodness, it was awful. They said, it was so boring. I thought I'd die before I got out of there. You could have heard a pin drop. I mean, Dr. Jack Frost stood up here and the icicles dripped off his nose while all the snowmen froze to death. They said there was no blessing. You know what Elisha said? Build a fire. Build a fire. You know what churches need today? We need some fire, folks. I'm not talking about a bunch of put on stuff. I'm not talking about a bunch of emotional, fleshly stuff. I'm talking about the fire of God in the Holy Ghost. The real thing. You know what got me saved when I was 18 years old? There's a fire burning at Nebo Baptist Church. It wasn't talent. It wasn't a man's ability to preach. It wasn't his education. It wasn't the music. It was a fire. You know what Elisha said? He said, if we're going to get help, put the pot on the fire. Set a fire. Set a fire. You realize this morning, if I went to a lot of churches and done what I'm doing right now, it might set a fire, and it might get me to go down the parking lot. One of the two. Went to talk to a lady one time up the street, and I said, ma'am, would you please come to our church? She said, I want to ask you one question. I said, what's that? She said, do you yell when you preach? And I said, yeah. Which is a dumb question. What a dumb question to yell. Do you move when you walk? Of course you yell when you preach. That's the definition. Isaiah 58, verse 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a what? Kazoo? A trumpet, and show my people their transgression. Listen, I don't think you have to scream and holler, but I'm just saying, of course that's what preach means.
Yeah.
I said, yes, ma'am, dude. She said, I can't stand it. It just unnerves me. And I said, ma'am, do you go to ball games? She said, yes. I said, well, don't they yell there at the ball game?
Yeah.
She said, yes, but it's different. I guarantee you it's different. See, let me give you a little secret here. It ain't yelling and screaming that bothers me. It's what we're yelling. That's what gets under the skin. See, little Johnny can hit that T-ball. Beep! He goes, ding, 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 and Grandma goes, That's all right. But somebody comes to church and says, I'm going to heaven when I die and not hell, and I'm going to live in a mansion forever and ever. Everybody goes, woo! I just can't believe that. How that fanatic. Listen, brother, they set the fire on. They said, still the fire. You know what they said when the fire comes in Acts chapter 2 and on the day of Pentecost? They said, them people's crazy. They're drunk. It's too early in the day. Ladies and gentlemen, what we need in our churches that have a famine is fire. Fire. Christians getting on fire. Like kids do when they come back to camp. I've seen that happen many times. Kids get on fire at camp, come back, put the pot on them kids, buddy. Amen. There's nothing about the pot. Amen. Some of y'all got the fire on the pot. You got the wrong pot. Amen. That's why you ain't gonna count too. Amen. Amen. This ain't the kind you smoke, brother. This is the kind you put on there and the Lord move a fire in you. Amen. Third thing is the cause of the death in the pot. You know why there's death in that pot? Because the ministerial students were putting poison oak in there. Going around putting plants, that's the curse of today. People don't know the power of God. People think anything you do in worship is okay. And the reason there's death in the pot in so many churches today is there's poison in there. You start this stuff that the world has, and you use the methods of the world to try to get God in the church, I'm sorry, it don't work that way. That ain't the way it works. Well, then say, well, we'll just give us a rock band and we'll play music in here and all the kids are coming in. Well, then you got damned in the pot.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, when you get your Bible in here that don't even have Acts 8:37 in it, like the modern versions don't, you got death in the pot. You know why there's death in religion today? You got nuts like that guy last week saying Jesus was coming on Saturday evening, and had the whole world laughing about the coming of the Lord, that he's a heretic. That's death in the pot. Nobody knows when the Lord's coming back. That's death in the pot. And the world is laughing at us today because they go to church and they eat it and it makes them better. Blah. Blah. There's poison in a lot of our churches. False doctrine.
Right.
Now, what happened was in 50
But you know, a lot of people can't do that. They say, there's death in that. There's death in that thought. It's killing me. A rodent. I know a girl went to a Chinese restaurant and was eating what's that little round thing? I don't know. What's that? Look at it. It's like guts inside the egg. And she ate, I didn't let it, and there was a roach inside the egg roll. That's where this was. That's where this was. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever went to church and sat down and looked, and there was a roach in the choir? Yeah, you have, haven't you? What's he doing up there? He tells dirty jokes at work. He's a hypocrite. He didn't know that. And that's why people can't eat in a lot of churches. It makes them sick. And you know what the prophet said? He said, I tell you what you do. You go put some meal in that thing. You want meal? You make me out of meal? Bread. You know what the bread is? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Ladies and gentlemen, what churches need to get the poison out of us is this book right here. Read this book. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God shall man. We need preaching. We need Bible preaching. We need the word of God. And read. Put your nose in this book about 3 or 4 hours for a day or two and get right with God. It'll get the poison right out of you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed. There it is. You know how to get your poison out of your life? Put your nose in this book. You can watch TV for 2 hours. Read your Bible for a while. Every once in a while, I did it up there in Kentucky. Every once in a while, I'll just take the morning and say, look, I ain't doing nothing, but I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray and get the death out of it. You see, this is a supernatural book. And there's no book like this book. This book right here, when it's preached, will get the job done in people's lives. I heard of a man one time, years ago, who was an old wicked man. The man was in China. And the missionary was preaching. And all these Chinese people would come and listen to him. He had to use an interpreter and everything, but he was a great preacher. And this woman was trying to get her husband to come, and he worshiped another god. And he said, I'm not doing that. It would be blasphemy to my God to go in there and listen about your God. She said, please, will you just come one time? So finally he said, I'll come one time. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to worship your God. He said, I'll come one time. So she got him to come. He came in that service that night, that evening, and it was outside. They just had like an open air tabernacle. And he sat there like this and put his fingers in his ear, just like this. And he sat there saying, like, I come out of respect to her. I'm here to respect my wife. I'm not going to listen. You ain't going to get to me. I don't want to hear a word you got to say, preacher, like this. Big old China man. And so the preacher went ahead and preached. And the preacher went down to put the Bible. And he was preaching the Bible. Well, about that time, this great, big, gigantic horsefly came sailing. I mean, one of them beggars. Made 2 or 3 swoops over top of that crowd and came right, just like a jet, made a 3-point landing right on the end of that dude's nose. And instead, he sits there like that. And his fingers in his ear, and he's like, trying to get that off, and it's about to drive him crazy. And finally, he took his hand out like that and tried to get it. And as soon as he took his hand out, as the preacher said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would. And he said that went down in that ear and hit something in there and went right down in that guy's heart. And he said he heard that, and he had never heard that before. And he kept his finger down and started listening, and kept listening, and kept listening, and he went and bowed his head and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and got born again. And he changed. You know why? That's the power of the Word. He put the meal. Put the meal in that thing, brother. Put the meal in your children. Put the meal in your kids. Put the meal. The Word of God. That's what God did in the family. I'll tell you a story I heard this week, and I'll give you the preacher's name. It says he knows it for a fact. He knows the guy who this happened. Talk about the pot. This preacher kept witnessing to this guy. And this guy would not go to church, would not read the Bible. and he was an addict, drug addict, smoked pot every day. And he said, he told that guy, finally he told that guy, he said, I'll give you this Bible. You got to promise me that you'll read it. And I got some old redneck guy up there that didn't have none. He said, well, you know what, I'll read it. Same kind of with every book I get. He said, well, you got to promise me you'll read it, Bert. He said, I'll smoke it. What is that? Did you give me that thing in Indian pages up there? I'd roll those things up. Make me cigarettes out of it. The guy said, well, I'll give it to you if you'll read it before you smoke it. And the guy promised him. You read the first page of Matthew, turned it out, rolled him up a joint, smoked it. Second page of Matthew. He said, that's horrible to even think about, man, smoking the Bible.
Right.
He smoked up Matthew, smoked up Mark, smoked up Luke. And when he came to John 3:16, man, that's the truth. They said, it's the truth. I give you the preacher's name. Come to this story.
Hey.
As far as he could